Good evening. This is James Johnson, News and Public Affairs Director with WDIY, with a special announcement. Lehigh Valley Public Radio has yet another reason to be proud of our many choices and real voices, collaborating with our fantastic volunteers to curate amazing stories from the Lehigh Valley that listeners can enjoy, learn from, and connect more closely to our community. WDIY News and Public Affairs submitted entries to the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters annual awards honoring excellence in radio and TV production across the state. Let's have Raina Malhotra share the good news.
Hello, everyone. I'm Raina Malhotra, host of Teen Scientist on WDIY. The Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters has recently announced that Teen Scientist won the 2021 Excellence in Broadcasting Award for an outstanding public affairs program or series. Once I found out, I was in absolute shock. I'm thrilled to be recognized and want to thank WDIY and the entire news and public affairs crew for the endless support I've received since the beginning of my journey. I'm extremely humbled and grateful to have been considered for this award after inheriting the opportunity to work with WDIY and the program Teen Scientist from my sister. After she left for college, I knew I wanted to continue the show and use it as a platform to reach out to as many young innovators as possible and showcase the science, technology, engineering, and math here in the Lehigh Valley. The show hit the ground running with the inaugural episode featuring Okezwe Bell, a 15-year-old app designer here in the Lehigh Valley, and has only grown since then. My hope is to continue to bring you and the listeners of WDIY interesting STEM stories entirely from a teenage perspective. I'm excited to take up this journey with WDIY and Teen Scientist, and I'm so glad to be a part of this wonderful radio community. I want to thank the staff, members, sustainers, our community partners, and the listeners of WDIY again for all of the support. It's truly appreciated.
Thank you, Raina. This award will be another cornerstone for WDIY to build from. WDIY will continue to collaborate with volunteers to tell the unique stories of the Lehigh Valley, providing focus, creating impact, and maybe a little entertainment, all with the highest journalistic standards. So without further delay, may I present the award-winning Teen Scientist with your host, Raina Malhotra.
Good evening and welcome to Teen Scientist. I'm Raina Malhotra, your host, and doing our audio engineering tonight is James Johnson. Teen Scientist aims to bring stories of groundbreaking innovation in the science, technology, engineering, and math disciplines entirely from a teenage perspective. The program highlights local, regional, and national STEM stories with young people and respected experts in their field. Tonight, we'll focus on a pioneering healthcare innovation recently added to the Good Shepherd Rehabilitation Network. Joining us first is Amanda Kleckner, the Administrative Director of Pediatrics at Good Shepherd Rehabilitation, followed by Jennifer Pineda and her daughter Emily, a patient with Good Shepherd who utilizes the Trexo robotic technology. I'm excited to first invite Director Amanda Kleckner on air with us today. Welcome, Amanda. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us on Teen Scientist and making the time for WDIY.
Of course.
If you don't mind, could you please share with our listeners a little about your education and background and how your path led to Good Shepherd?
Sure. So I am trained in physical therapy. So I went to school at Lebanon Valley College in Annville, Pennsylvania. I got into physical therapy, specifically pediatrics, because my niece was born with cerebral palsy. So I loved all physical therapy, but as soon as I got a pediatric clinical or student affiliation, I knew that pediatrics was my calling. So when I graduated from Lebanon Valley College, I applied to every single pediatric therapy position I could find, including Hawaii, different states. So I luckily landed at Good Shepherd, and I was drawn to Good Shepherd due to their technology. When I went there, they talked about being beta testing sites for new technology and just different devices that children and adults could use. So that's why I was mostly interested in Good Shepherd, and the path has led me here.
And then could you briefly describe what exactly an organization like Good Shepherd works on?
Sure. So I work in pediatrics, and we have inpatient and outpatient, which means patients who live at home and they come for medical-based therapy to our clinic. Or right now, we provide telehealth intervention, so we see them through the Zoom platform. Also, our inpatient unit is a 20-bed acute rehab hospital, so it would be after a traumatic event, after an accident, or we do have kids who are graduating from the NICU who come to us before they're ready to go home. So really, we bridge that gap between the medical acute hospital to home for our inpatient unit. We also have early intervention, which is that 0 to 3 through the county in the home, as well as cyber school. But Good Shepherd as a whole also has an entire adult division, including inpatient and outpatient rehabilitation, and our physician group who focus primarily on physical medicine and rehabilitation, as well as neuropsychology, home health, and long-term care. So really, we can take you 0 to 100 years.
So recently, Good Shepherd has announced that they have added 2 new Trexo Robotic Plus exoskeletons to help children walk and are the only provider in the East Coast to offer all 3 sizes of the Trexo Plus technology. Could you please explain how Good Shepherd got involved with the Trexo Plus technology?
Sure. So as soon as we heard of the device, we immediately got in contact with Trexo. There are the first exoskeleton, which just means robotic legs or robotic walking device for pediatrics that is able to freely go around the room. So we immediately contacted them and became a site for their first rollout of their device. That was our medium device that fits 3 to 6 years old. And we were named a center of excellence to then show that we can use the device. We are researching with the device. We are, you know, pioneering this new technology with them. So we are doing a research study to see if this device has any change in a child's walking while using it, you know, 3 to 4 times a week.
You had just mentioned the study that began in August of 2020 that focused specifically on children with cerebral palsy. Could you talk about how it began and the potential study outcomes?
Sure. So that's what I was just mentioning. So we are working with Trexo to look at children, their walking before using the Trexo device and then after using the Trexo device. So looking at, can we show any diagnostic changes or any outcome changes of they used to walk this way and do this pattern and now they're walking this way. So children, as long as they fit into the device and they're medically appropriate to use the device, we are then assessing their walking patterns before and after use of the device 3 to 4 times a week.
So that research is really interesting. Can you explain how exactly the Trexo Plus robotic skeleton works to help children walk?
Sure. So it is a robotic leg. The technical term is exoskeleton. So it has a motor at the knee and the hip that helps to advance the child's leg or move it forward for them if they're unable to, or help them if they just need a little bit of assistance. So what it does is it puts the child in their near perfect alignment or the best alignment that they can achieve to then allow that repeat practice. So the more you practice a skill, the more that their patterns will develop in your brain and the pathways will correct. Maybe they're sending the wrong signal and we then put them in the correct alignment to send the correct signal. So as you're using a device, we've had other devices that allow children to take steps on their own. They're called gait trainers or walkers, but this actually helps to put them in the correct alignment because the research shows if you put them in the correct alignment or position and you repeat that over and over and over again, then you have more successful outcomes and more retraining of those brain pathways.
And then could you talk about the funding for the Trexo technologies and how Good Shepherd has invested in its future?
Sure. So we have been very lucky to have generous donors. So our Women's Circle and Glavada, the local car dealership association, were able to assist us with donations to help get us these devices. We also have a technology fund that is generous donations from community support as well. So Good Shepherd invests in technology. Like I said, it's one of the main reasons why I wanted to work for Good Shepherd. But then we also had generous donors support to help us get all 3 devices here.
And so, as I mentioned before, Good Shepherd is the only provider on the East Coast with all 3 sizes of this technology. Can you tell our listeners what the benefits of the 3 size options are and how this technology can be potentially shared across the world to help others?
Sure. So we have the 3 sizes because children grow. So The small size can start as low as 1 year of age, or when a child typically would start to walk, all the way up through a inseam of about 30 inches. So it does go into a small adult size. Good Shepherd and the adult side does have a different exoskeleton. So if our adults interested in the robotic legs, we do have an adult version. But the Trexo Plus, the three sizes that we have, will take you zero all the way up to small adult size. So the benefit of having three is that you don't have to stop once you grow with the Trexo training. Or if you're a certain age or a certain size, we have the device to then be able to trial the device and use the device. So if you're interested in more information, we can connect through goodshepherdpediatrics.org or 1-888-44-REHAB. We are taking consultations even from outside of our area for a one-time sizing consult or to trial the device, because the Trexo does have home units available as well.
And so after a patient has outgrown the largest size, would they switch into the adult size of this technology?
If they had the mobility and the sizing requirements for the adult device. But again, that's not through Trexo. That is a different type of exoskeleton. So you would just have to make sure that you fit medically and body size.
Is this technology shared across the world?
There are other establishments that have the Trexo devices, yes. We are the only ones on the East Coast right now, but there are Trexos in multiple countries and different states, yes.
And so you mentioned before your niece had cerebral palsy. Has she seen this Trexo skeleton?
So she has. She is lucky enough to be able to walk on her own. So she did not need this device. It actually only affected the one side of her body, but she has seen this device. I did share it with all of my family to say, look at this technology that we have and how cool is this?
Well, lastly, what kind of impact does this technology have on patients with mobility challenges?
So it really takes them as far as they want to go. This technology allows kids to take steps who normally would not be able to take steps, or retrain muscles that they may have lost in an accident or just through disuse. So without this technology, some of the kids would not be able to ever take steps, and they definitely would not be able to take as many in a short period of time or in the correct pattern. So I do joke that, you know, I'll come home to my husband and I say, I got a kid to walk for the first time. And he will say, oh, you say that all the time. But it's just as special every single time. So seeing the families and the patient's face light up when they're able to take those steps, or maybe even when they get out of the Trexo and they take their first ever steps by themselves, that's life changing. And you really just can't compare that impact that it has on those families.
Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners, or you would like them to know about Good Shepherd and Trexo?
If you're interested in more information, we can connect through goodshepherdpediatrics.org or 1-888-44-REHAB. We'll be happy to talk to you about this device or any other technologies and therapies we provide.
Well, that's all very fascinating information, all happening right here in the Lehigh Valley. Thank you so much for making the time to talk with us today, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
Right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be speaking with Jennifer Pineda, mother of 6-year-old Emily Pineda, to discuss what it's like to use the Trexo Plus technology. This is Raina Malhotra, and you are listening to Teen Scientist on WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
WDIY is pleased to offer programming support to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley, presenting their virtual event series, Trivia Bowl for Kids' Sake, every Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m., starting April 8th through the 29th. Teams will test their wits online for cash and prizes while raising funds for essential youth mentoring programs. For more information and to register your trivia team, bbbslv.org.
Welcome back to Teen Scientists on WDIY. I'm Raina Malhotra. We just spoke with Amanda Kleckner, the Administrative Director of Pediatrics at Good Shepherd Rehabilitation, about the Trexo Robotics Program and how it benefits children with cerebral palsy. Joining us now is Jennifer Pineda. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Raina.
Before we start talking about the amazing robotic exoskeleton that Emily utilizes, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and about Emily?
Sure. Our family is living right now outside of Philadelphia, and we are about 1 hour from Good Shepherd. Emily has a big sister, Caroline, and her dad, who works from home, as most people have during COVID. So we've been able to spend a lot of time together. We're a typical family that loves to go out and be around people when we can and enjoy the outdoors, but also do fun indoor activities as well. Emily loves to be a typical six-year-old girl who paints and colors as well as reads books and plays on the iPad. She loves to jump and be on swings and dances, but she all needs help with this. She needs help because she has cerebral palsy, which means for Emily, she had a stroke while she was in my belly before birth. And when she was born, she had an area of her brain that did not receive oxygen. So that meant that Emily's muscles did not always receive the message from her brain to work in a certain way like you or I. So when Emily wants to raise her left hand, it's very difficult for her to raise her left hand and wave, or it is difficult for her to take steps on her own. Her muscles are not receiving the signal from her brain that she should stand up straight or sit up straight, because that part of her brain was deprived of oxygen prior to birth. So Emily, she is so many ways a typical six-year-old who's in kindergarten. She's going to virtual school right now, and she's in many general education classes with her peers who love to interact with her on a day-to-day basis over the computer screen. But she interacts with her peers in kindergarten over virtual school, so a lot of computer time. But she does enjoy so much of that, and she's just in so many ways a typical six-year-old.
So how has Emily's condition affected your family's life on a day-to-day basis?
On a day-to-day basis, I would say that our family is much more aware of our surroundings. When we do go out, we have to make sure that wherever we are going has access for not only my husband, myself, and my older daughter, but also Emily. And that means that there has to be ramps, that we can't just all of a sudden be confronted with two steps to get into a restaurant because her chair is very heavy. And since Emily cannot walk, she's in a wheelchair and needs to have a ramp to have access to doorways. So we're very aware of the surroundings outside. We look for parks that have adaptive swings. We look for trails that are not gravel or all grass. They need to be paved. And that is all so that our entire family can have a beneficial time being out and about. When we are at home, the way that having cerebral palsy has affected our family is more about our living space. As Emily gets bigger and she grows from using a manual wheelchair where myself or her dad or her big sister would push her around to where she wants to go, she will be in a power chair so that she independently can get from room to room and wherever she needs to be or want to be at that time. So we've had to make sure that our house has widened doorways, that it has a lift to get her from our first floor out to the garage and onto our driveway. So those types of things that you wouldn't normally say that you want to make changes in your house, because typical children without an issue like Emily with cerebral palsy could just run from room to room or run up and down the stairs, Emily needs to make sure that the wheels, which act as her legs on a wheelchair, are able to do what they need to. And that requires either ramps or flat surfaces.
So what was your reaction when you found out about Trexa Robotics with its benefits for children with mobility challenges, and how did you approach Good Shepherd to get Emily involved?
I was so very excited when I heard about it. The reason that I heard about it was because I was able to develop a good friendship with another mom who has a child similar to Emily in ability. And so she, during a phone conversation, had told me that a representative from the Trexa Robotics company was at her house and that her son was going to be trialing it over a few months. They worked with the company to have one at their house. And she said to me, "Oh, by the way, the representative is on their way to a place called Good Shepherd in Allentown, which is near to you." And I said, "Good Shepherd?" I knew Good Shepherd because Emily receives physical therapy from one of their outpatient centers in New Britain, which is near Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And so I went on to the Good Shepherd website, and I looked under the pediatrics, and I saw under the physical therapy Amanda Kleckner's name. And so I just sent her an email. And from there, we were able to talk through Emily and what she needed and what her abilities were and what her limitations were, and to see if Trexa would be a positive and something that would work for Emily. And Amanda had thought that it would. And so we drive about 1 hour each week to do the Trexa robotic system just because of that one conversation with a friend and Amanda answering my email.
And so what was it like seeing Emily walk with the machine for the first time?
I was so very excited. Emily wants. She wants to stand. She wants to walk. She wants to jump. And she does have to have assistance with all of that. And for her to be in this device and able to steer it where she wanted it to go and make sure that it went to a part of the room that we were in on her own was like the smile on her face just makes what we do each week worth it. You know, driving to and from, making sure that her schedule allows for that large of a time to have therapy since she's in school now. And it's difficult to put into words how wonderful it was to see her walk like that. Children with cerebral palsy who don't have the ability to walk on their own have an issue where their hips can become out of socket, so that they have hip displacement. And that can be very painful for a child. So you want to have a child who's not mobile bear weight as much as possible, whether they're in something called a piece of equipment called a stander, which allows them to bear weight and help them stand, or a machine like this Trexa Robotics, where it's constantly doing the motion of walking for the child. So to know that this not only would help Emily physically, but also mentally, to know that she's walking by herself. No one's holding her. No one is helping her or is close by. You know, that is a feeling that she had never had before. And it was just really exciting to experience, to see as a mom my child experience it. It was just wonderful. And I just love it every single time I see her in this device.
And so how does Emily like her robotic machine?
She loves it. She really enjoys going around the areas of Good Shepherd that the Trexa roams. Pre-COVID, we were out in the common reception area where they have a cafe, and Emily would go and she'd walk to that cafe and pick out a bag of chips to buy, and I would give her a dollar, and she would give it to the cashier, And then she would go and get a cup, and she would walk herself over to the water fountain and fill the cup with water. And then she would go to the different reception areas and show people the bag of chips that she got and have conversations with them in the ways that she could, using signs and some verbalization. And she just, everybody knew who Emily was. And I think she was so excited to go every week and see those same people and do those things that gave her independence. She just really enjoyed it.
So I think you touched on this a bit before, but do you wish there was more focus on accessibility in public for people with disabilities?
Yes. I do. This, before having Emily, I did not realize how inaccessible things were. I did not realize how a playground, you go to a playground and assume that you can just go on, your child will just go on every piece of equipment and experience whatever it has to offer. If it's a swing going back and forth and up and down, if it's stairs or a slide to easily be able to get to it. And when you go to a playground and you're confronted because it has wood chips as the ground, that they can't even try and take steps in it, or you as a parent don't have secure footing to be able to bring your child to the different pieces of playground equipment. It's disheartening. It's also, you know, in trying to take her to amusement parks or restaurants and seeing steps, and you can't get up those steps, or the doorways, you know, when you go into the restaurant and the tables are all crammed together. I noticed when I was with my older daughter in the mall, when all of the stores have their clothing very close together, I thought to myself, if Emily's in a power chair, how can this power chair navigate aisles that are so condensed? And you know, it just is very difficult to maneuver. So I think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't take into consideration that some of their clientele or the people in their neighborhood or their world has the inability to navigate a place unless they are in a chair. And they just assume that everybody is walking and able to do that, and able to pull a heavy door open into a building, things like that. So, yes, I do wish it. I think that there are inroads being made, but as always, more can be done. And I hope just with more time and promotion of people who have disabilities and what the needs are, that there will be change. And I appreciate a platform like this where people can learn about cerebral palsy who may not have known about it and understand something or learn something new.
And how do you think using this kind of advanced technology will improve and change to help Emily in the future?
I have seen already Emily having more ability to do things with her legs. For example, prior to using the Trexo, she was not able to quickly, if I'm standing behind her and trying to help her stand, but she wants to take a jump, for her to quickly bend her knees to go into a squat. And for you and I, that might seem like something so simple and easy to do, but for Emily, that is a direct line from her brain telling those leg muscles, go down, and then jump back up. And after being in the Trexo for a number of sessions, she was quickly able to do that with my assistance, and that hadn't happened before. So that is an early improvement in her ability to do certain things. What will it do in the future? I really feel that time will only tell. The way that Emily goes about her daily life and having different types of therapy is just to, you know, make her be the best that she can be. And we don't really know what that is, but we are just trying to offer her whatever opportunity we can so that her brain can talk to her muscles as much as possible. It is something that is difficult to look into the future, and my crystal ball has been broken for a while, but I do hope that it just offers her better quality of life, however it can. What that will be, I don't know, but I can only hope that it will.
Lastly, is there anything else you would like our listeners to know about Emily, Trexa Robotics, or cerebral palsy?
I would just hope the only thing that I would want listeners to know is that whenever you see someone who looks a little different, always assume competence. Always assume that they can smile at you or say hi to you and would welcome a friendly gesture, because most people do. Not to look away, and that often asking questions and being kind will just make the world a better place.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for making the time to be with us today. It's been fascinating to hear about your experiences using this innovative robotic exoskeleton with Emily. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and we can't wait to see how this technology improves the quality of life for children with cerebral palsy and spinal cord injuries.
Thank you very much.
And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in today for WDIY's Teen Scientist. Right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be speaking with Susan Bartles, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Savory Grill in the historic Seasalt Hotel in Macungie. Chef Sean Doyle is happy to present an Easter family meal special menu in recognition of the holiday. Orders must be placed by Friday, April 2nd at 3 p.m., with scheduled pickup on Saturday, April 3rd from 1 to 6 p.m., or Easter Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon. Learn more under the Savory at Home tab at savorygrill.com.
Connect to WDIY with our new streaming app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs that you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices. Welcome back to Teen Scientists on WDIY. I'm Raina Malhotra. Tonight, we will be focusing on a recent initiative created to prepare children for future academic pursuits through a mentoring program that introduces students to advanced concepts and study skills. Joining us is Susan Bartles, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley. Welcome, Susan. How are you today?
I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley on Teen Scientists and WDIY.
Well, thank you for joining us. If you don't mind, could you share a little bit about your education and background and how your path led to Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Sure. I actually started as a big sister when I was in college. I was getting my undergraduate degree in social work at Eastern Mennonite College in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And we were asked to volunteer, and we were given different volunteer opportunities. Big Brothers Big Sisters was one of those opportunities, and so I actually got one college credit to be a big sister. I've actually had six littles over my lifetime, but my first little sister was when I was in college, and I was with her for 2 years. Her name is Maisha, and she was 11 at the time, and so I had the privilege of mentoring her for 2 years, and then I graduated from college and moved back home. And actually, because I was a big sister, a job was open at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Schuylkill County, where I originated from. And when I moved back home, I applied for that position as a case manager and worked there for 4 years.
And so I understand that Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley is celebrating its 50-year anniversary. How exactly was Big Brothers Big Sisters founded, and what were some early initiatives or projects that it began with?
Yeah, so Big Brothers movement actually started in New York City when a court clerk named Ernest Kotler, he actually saw an increase in boys that came before him. And so he had this idea that if you pair boys with men, that would help keep boys out of trouble. And so that's how the movement of Big Brothers Big Sisters of America started. And we're an affiliate of Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. And in 1971, similarly, the Kiwanis Club looked around and did like a feasibility study. And they saw there was 1,400 fatherless boys that could benefit from a male role model. And so then they formed Big Brothers of Lehigh County in 1971. And then what happened is in 1977, they added Big Sisters. And then Northampton County, Big Brothers Big Sisters, was formed in 1980. And then the two chapters, Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Lehigh County and Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northampton County, merged together and formed one entity in 1984.
Could you give us a brief description of what exactly an organization like Big Brothers Big Sisters primarily works on?
Yeah, so Big Brothers Big Sisters' mission is to create and support one-to-one mentoring relationships that ignite the power and promise of youth. And basically, we do that through a few different programs. What we're mostly known for is our traditional community-based program, where a mentor will go to a child's home, pick them up, and do activities in the community. So you expose them to sporting events, you take them to restaurants, you do craft activities, outdoor activities, ride bikes, things of that nature. And so that's what we're traditionally known for. But then we've started some site-based programs where the program meets in a location outside of the community. So like a local school, our youth mentoring center is another place that's a site. So it usually takes place at like a set place. And then we've had some virtual programs that we started because of COVID. And then we have a few group mentoring programs as well. But basically, the goal of the program, all of our programs, is really to pair youth who could benefit from a positive role model. And then they're in a one-to-one relationship. And so for me, what's really appealing about it is I have four siblings and I'm the middle child. And so when I think about the one-to-one aspect and how important it is to have somebody that's yours, and you don't have to share that individual and that person's in your corner to listen to whatever's happening in your life, I think that's is such an impactful program model for kids today. And so that's kind of what we do. Our goal is to really help kids be able to be successful in the future, wherever it takes them. We want them to graduate high school. We want them to pursue post-secondary educational opportunities and get into some kind of career that is meaningful for them.
Could you name any success stories locally of Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think of one of our matches. He's actually a board member of ours, and he talks at length about the impact that his time with his little brother, you know, they were matched when the young man was like 10 years old, and he moved on and went to college, and then he went to back to grad school, and he graduated with his degree in engineering. You know, a lot of times people think it's these big moments of time, and it's really the small incremental showing up, being there, and supporting them. You know, he talked about the fact that they would, you know, shoot off rockets in their backyard. And you just don't know at that time the impact that that activity will have on a youngster. You just don't know. And so that's, you know, it's those simple things that you do today that has bigger impact for tomorrow.
Could you explain the difference between what a little and what a big is?
Sure. A big is our volunteers. So we actually start volunteers at ninth graders all the way up to 75-year-old, I think, is our oldest volunteer. So our big is our mentors. And then our littles are the young people who can benefit from having a positive role model in their life. And again, they start at 7 and they go all the way up till graduation from high school.
And so recently, Big Brothers Big Sisters has announced a new STEAM lab at the Youth Mentoring Center in Allentown. How did the idea to create this program come about, and what main goals did you aim to achieve?
Yeah, so actually it started, our vision initially was to create a tech room. We moved into our building about 5 years ago. We did some focus groups, and we looked at what are the needs in the community, and one of the things that emerged was the disparity in access to technology. And so we started this whole thought about creating a tech room so that our young people could be prepared for the future, current and future workplace. And then as we started fitting out the room and doing some maintenance to the building and investing time, we started to say, wait, we're creating too narrow of a focus and that there's a broader program that we could create. And so this is how STEAM mentoring kind of came to us as a way to really introduce broader focus for our young people so that they could start to see themselves in STEAM careers. So our goals for the program is really to, first of all and foremost, we just want to expose all of our littles, the kids that we serve, to STEAM. So all of our matches, all the children that are enrolled in any of our programs get introduced to STEAM activities. And then our second, you know, goal is to really develop an interest in those littles in possible STEAM careers. And then ultimately, we want them to pursue those degrees and careers in the STEAM field. And then we also have a program where we really are trying to increase math PSSA scores so that we can make sure that our young people are growing and getting better academics.
And what fields of learning does this program focus on?
So we're really taking a broad approach in our STEAM activities. We actually were a bit delayed with COVID, and we just started in the fall. So our initial approach to it is basically introducing littles to a variety of STEAM activities. So, for example, we've used Kiva planks, we've had them learn basic coding, we've done some Lego building challenges. Like, for example, this evening, we actually are having a program tonight, a STEAM activity night for all the kids in our program, and they're actually going to be working with Makey Makey and learning about circuit boards. But ultimately, what we're really trying to do is to have our young people practice and reinforce the skills they're learning in school around critical thinking, problem solving, innovation, collaboration, communication, and adaptability. We're just trying to make sure that they remain competitive in the current and future workforce.
And how did Big Brothers Big Sisters work to successfully organize a STEAM-based curriculum for children?
We were fortunate enough to actually hire a program specialist who has her master's in curriculum and teaching. And so we actually hired her for a different position and said to her, you know, in the future, this is an idea we have. And then within 6 months of her hiring, we moved her over into this role. So she's been putting together lesson plans and curriculum for the bigs and littles to do together.
So how old are most participants in the program?
We start serving children at 7, and then they go all the way up to graduation of high school. I would say the average age for us is probably between 10 to 12.
That's amazing, and all happening right here in the Lehigh Valley. Right now, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue to speak with CEO Susan Bartles about the STEAM Lab program at Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley. This is Raina Malhotra, and you are listening to Teen Scientist on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Galactic Travels brings you hour-long soundscapes of electronic, ambient, and space music. That's Thursday night at 11, right here on WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to Teen Scientists on WDIY. I'm Raina Malhotra. Here with us is Susan Bartles, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters here in the Lehigh Valley. Let's dive right back in from where we left off. Many of our listeners are familiar with STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. Why did Big Brothers Big Sisters find it important to focus on not just STEM, but STEAM fields?
Yeah, so for me, with my 30-plus years of experience in Big Brothers Big Sisters, I have found that arts is a very creative way for youth to deal with their emotions or express their emotions. And so we wanted to have a more holistic approach and help youth find their future success in professional careers by leaning into their natural talent. So our goal is to have mentors help youth discover new interests. That's one piece of mentoring, but the other piece of the mentoring is to really grow and expand a young person's natural interests and talents. And so just wanted to make sure that we didn't lose sight of the youth that have this really creative art background talent and making sure that we created a more inclusive program.
And why is it so crucial for students to take initiative and start exploring their interests at a young age?
So the way I look at it is the younger you start, the more you can develop curiosity and the more that young people can see for themselves a future that they maybe can't imagine right now. So again, just how do you expose at a young age, opportunity, show them that there's things that they haven't even considered as a possibility for their future. Start showing them, introducing them to it, having them experience it really helps them broaden kind of their world and be able to see what else is available to them.
What kind of activities does the STEAM Lab run to keep students engaged and interested?
Yeah, so we actually have it segmented. Like we do some science activities. The most popular by any stretch of the imagination is making slime. Like we hosted before COVID, we hosted a holiday party and my current little sister didn't move from the table that whole day. So we made, I think, 3 batches of slime that day. So slime is by far the favorite science activity. But in addition, we've also, you know, made our own Play-Doh. We made our own Silly Putty. We're getting ready to do a lava lamp experiment this Thursday. Technology, we've done things like scratch coding. We do Legos. With engineering, we've built our own catapult. We've made our own spin tops. We've done a floating ping pong ball challenge. The Bigs and Littles worked on a Lego boat challenge to see how many pebbles they could have on their boat before it would sink. We built bridges and had a competition and a challenge with other Bigs and Littles to see who can make the most sturdy bridge. And then we put different things on the bridge to show that it's really sturdy and strong. Art's always a popular thing. We did a spin art. We did a no snow sock man, an egg carton turkey craft around Thanksgiving, bubble paint flower. And then in math, we do a weekly program where the kids, the young people, the littles, get 20 minutes of Dreambox math where it reinforces what they're learning in school and they get to practice the curriculum through Dreambox.
What kind of activities do you run through Zoom that keep children engaged over the screen?
So we are doing a high school Bigs virtual program. So similarly, we do different activities with them with a STEAM focus. But one of the things that we've learned to do is we found a gym teacher who does all sorts of like calisthenics. And so we always start with that to have them, you know, kind of get up and move and then be able to focus on the activity at hand.
And where do you see Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley and the STEAM Lab growing in the future?
So my ultimate goal is to really create more specialized programs so we could attract more male mentors. So for example, one of the ideas that we have is how do we create a Big Brothers Big Sisters club for boys that are on our waiting list? We have way more little boys that want a big brother than we have big brothers to match them with. So we always have a growing list of boys on our waiting list. And so how do we create a specialized program and a club, if you will, where a group of male mentors get together with boys who have an interest in engineering, as one example. We've also talked around some ideas of like having a Lego club or a robotics club and just really segmenting, you know, people's interest and then attracting and recruiting volunteers that have that same interest.
Can you share with our teen listeners more about the upcoming online virtual Trivia Bowl event?
Yeah, we actually have a Trivia Bowl for Kids' Sake. It's 4 nights in April of trivia, 1 hour, 7:30 to 8:30. And You don't have to participate in all four nights. You can, you know, participate in one night or all four nights. Doesn't really matter. And the goal is to raise funds in order for us to continue to offer, you know, STEAM activities for our young people. And basically, we ask each individual person to form a team and fundraise minimally $75. So the team goal of five people would be $375. And like I said, all the money that's raised stays here in the Lehigh Valley. The team captain would basically have the opportunity to submit the answer of the trivia for their team. The trivia will run on YouTube, and we will host breakout rooms on our Zoom account for the teams to convene and talk about what they think the answer is. And like I said, the team captain would submit that answer, and then we'll rank and give points based off of the answers. And then each night there will be a leaderboard, and we are going to be awarding cash prizes for the top three trivia teams across the four nights.
Where can someone go if they're interested in participating or becoming a big brother or big sister?
Definitely go to our website, which is bbbslv.org.
Lastly, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about you, the STEAM Lab, or Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to talk about Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Thank you, Ms. Bartles, for making time to be with us today. It's been fascinating to hear about your experience and how the STEAM program has grown to make such an impact to our community. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and we can't wait to see how Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Lehigh Valley will expand and improve learning opportunities for young innovators. And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in today. I'm Rana Malhotra, and I'll see you next time on Teen Scientist.